it's Monday. That means we need to check in with Dick Weiss, our media critic. Richard, welcome back to Big 550 KCRS.
Great to be here.
Your website, weisswright.com, weisswright.com. You also spent 30 years as an editor of the Post-Dispatch, 20 years at the Metro section, and you're here every Monday. How's the book selling?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the numbers, but we're getting around, and we're doing a book signing at Christopher's in Kirkwood on Sunday from 1 to 3, so I hope some people come out and say hi.
The book is called The Jewel of St. Louis, Forest Park.
That's correct.
And you and your wife put it together.
Exactly.
Researched it, wrote it, a lot of pictures. It's a great coffee table book. Great for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and you're Christopher's in Kirkwood from 1 to 3.
1 to 3.
All right. So the rumor was you weren't going to sign a book for me. Is that true or not?
I have.
Yes, you did.
You didn't read the soulful inscription?
I have it actually in my book. I haven't opened it yet.
Okay. I'm really hoping to get a tip of 15 or 20% after having listened to your program earlier today.
You tip everybody. That's exactly
yes.
Right. Yes, yes, including yes. Your talk
my
show.
My tip
host.
Jar is out here, right here.
So late last week, it was the Omaha shootings was a big story, a big national story, and we talked about it here, and I found it interesting that you found somebody on the national level that was saying the same things we were saying here.
Oh, is that right?
Which is, because we did a whole hour on how much information do you really need, and do we really need to basically advertise these guys and what they do.
Right. It's a shame. I imagine that he was strongly motivated by wanting to become famous. I don't know if that was his only motivation. But as I was reading the coverage online and here and there, ran across a piece by John Friedman of MarketWatch, which is a Dow Jones news service. He comments on the media. And he says, I want the media to stop the practice of identifying crazed fame seekers, such as a gunman who killed 8 people in Omaha. Before taking his own life. Don't release their names or photos. And I thought about that. It actually made me think of a less tragic circumstance when people run out on the field during a ball game.
That's exactly
The camera used to follow them
and
show what they did, and some of them ran out half naked and did crazy things, and they stopped putting the camera on. And, of course, you never got their names no matter what.
Right.
And that seemed, at least they were doing their part to discourage that kind of activity. Well, of course, this is on a different level.
Right.
And I can only imagine that if a media outlet refused to print the name, another media outlet would.
Well, how about this? The whole name thing, whether you print the name or not. Lori Drew is a great example. Mm-hmm. Maybe 30 years ago, it might have worked, but Lori Drew's name was not released by a number of news organizations, including this one, until it was the bloggers got a hold of it, and it was all over the internet, and so there was a whispering campaign going on, and then finally it was like, well, the name's already out there, so even if people didn't mention this shooter's name up in Omaha, the word's going to get out eventually what the guy's name is.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. The other aspect of this is where do you draw the line? If somebody shoots one person, okay, you're going to print the name. 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, and then pretty soon people will be drawing conspiracy theories. Well, they didn't print his name or her name because he was white or black or Jewish or Gentile or because it was religiously related or whatever it might be. To me, it's just impractical to do that. The other thing is by printing names, it is, in a way, a form of public service. You find out things. People report in information that could be useful.
That he was this, he was that, he was a troubled youth, he was a great kid, he was a bad kid,
or he may have been in touch with other people who conspired with him.
Right. Yeah. So as an editor, you say, great in theory, but doesn't
really doesn't work. And in fact, things are beginning to go the other way. People, it used to be we never would have printed the name of someone who had been raped because it was considered to stigmatize the victim, and now more people are coming out sort of voluntarily and saying, I was raped, because first they want to take the stigma off, but also they want to bear witness to how horrible the crime is,
and it
gives it more credibility.
Interesting. All right, what do you think of the Oprah-Obama weekend?
Well, I was I'm not a huge Oprah fan. I don't watch her in the afternoon as millions apparently do. I admire her in terms of what she's done with her career, but I found the coverage too, in some ways, Oprah-focused. All the sound bites were on her. A lot of the information was about her phenomenon. And what I was curious to learn, and what I still am searching for, is what did Barack Obama make of the moment? What did he say? And the only thing that I heard was a remark saying that his asking people whether she would make a great vice president, and people, you know, cheered, and he said, of course, that would be a demotion for her.
Right.
And, you know, funny line, but what, you know, he had something like 30,000 people in South Carolina yesterday,
right.
And I read a piece just before I came on here for the New York Times by Catherine Seeley. There is not one quotation from Barack Obama in her, well, I don't know how many words it was. It was four takes on the web screen.
Right.
Not one quotation from Barack Obama. What did he say to move this audience? It was all about Oprah, who is not going to be our next president.
And your point being that her star power is so big that did she actually take away from what the candidate was
trying
to say?
It may have detracted. I have to believe that at least for those 30,000 people that showed up, that he said, he did say something. I'm pretty sure he probably got up and spoke for a few minutes, if only to praise Oprah. And so I imagine he it does have some influence, and in that if people are going to say around the country, well, if someone like her can support someone like him, then maybe I'd
right. I heard reports, ABC News, that they were interviewing people. After she finished speaking, people got up and left.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So because they came to listen to her.
Yes.
And once she was done, they got up and left. Now, the Obama campaign sort of downplayed that, obviously. Yeah. And then the other people they asked, they were like, well, I just came here to see Oprah. You know, I'm not really paying attention to who's running for president yet.
Well, that's kind of interesting because I always wondered why these people who are on television all the time get these huge speaking fees, because you can see them a lot. Why would you go out and pay a lot of money to hear Oprah when you can get her for free day after day after day? Barack Obama, you know, he is becoming increasingly prominent and ubiquitous, but still, I want to hear what he'd have to say, more so.
When Charlton Heston goes out and stumps for a candidate, or when Rob Reiner goes out and stumps for a candidate, or that matter, when Kurt Warner was out, you know, plugging the stem cell, and everybody else was, you know, they had a message, you know, hey, I'm for this, I'm against that, I like guns, everyone should have a gun, whatever. Barack, Oprah just said, Barack's great, and vote for him.
Right, here's the moment.
Right.
And a subtle part of this is that she is an African-American woman, born in the South, and can identify with the hopes and the aspirations of many other African-American women and just women in general. And she's been there. One thing that was pointed out in this New York Times piece that I thought was very interesting is that she really did not play the race card overtly. She didn't have to. Just as when Mitt Romney spoke, he mentioned the word Mormon once, and it was really just all about faith and religion and being a Christian. And it's interesting how people are playing these cards very deftly, or trying to anyway.
What did you think of Mitt Romney's speech?
Well, you know, in a way it made me kind of sad, because nobody took, or very few people seem to take, what Mitt Romney was saying at face value, that he was standing up and declaring where his faith and religion begin and where it intersects with politics and how it works. He wanted to be a JFK, or at least perceived that way, and everybody, even the people who are supposed to deliver the news pretty straight on the, for instance, on the nightly news on NBC, the reporter ended up saying, this is pure politics, and that Mitt Romney was merely trying to appeal to a base that he was beginning to lose to Mike Huckabee. Made me sad, but after parsing the words and looking at it, it did look like pretty much a sheer political kind of play.
But every,
sad to say.
But I mean, if they say that after that speech, they should say that after everything, because everything Bush says is political. Everything Clinton does is political.
And it made me think, you know, remember JFK's inaugural speech, ask not what you can do for your country or what you can, you know. And I can imagine that being parsed at this point. Was he playing to his base with that kind of line? Who was he speaking to? What? Right. Who was he trying to get? And I don't remember it being, of course, I was only 9 years old at the time, but I don't remember it being looked at as anything but high-flown rhetoric designed to inspire us. People took it that way.
Right, but Kennedy's speech saying, I'm not going to be a Catholic president, I'm going to be a president who happens to be Catholic, that was political.
That was, yeah, that was political, and I think what he got credit for was standing up in front of an audience that was not favorable toward him, Baptist ministers and things like that, and that it was articulated forcefully and well. Mitt Romney's remarks actually were in many ways quite eloquent, but it was, to some of us non-believers and non-Christians, a little scary when you say that you can't have liberty without religion, and I am a Christian, and Christ is my Savior. That can make people a little edgy.
Here's what I don't understand about the whole Mitt Romney Mormon thing. I don't know how many, anecdotally, I don't know how many people are actually going to go into a booth and say, he's a Mormon, I refuse to vote for him. I'm sure there are some. I don't know how big of a number it is. But what I find more fascinating is Mitt Romney's the only guy running for the Republican nomination, one of the few, who's had the same wife all these years. And he's the Mormon. And what's the one thing everyone knows about the Mormon tenets is that they used to be able to allow to have more than one wife.
Right. And he's got one.
McCain, Giuliani, a couple other ones have all had numerous wives.
Yes. Welcome to the 21st century. Welcome to France.
Right. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney's being crucified for being a Mormon. I shouldn't say crucified for being a Mormon. is being criticized for being a Mormon, and he's the only one who's had one wife all these years.
Yeah, it's a crazy world. The other thing that was kind of interesting, I saw one poll that suggested that people had more trouble voting for a Mormon than for an African-American or for a woman. It was like 50% against a Mormon and 25% against an African-American. And
I don't know. I sort of think of Mormon like a Quaker, don't you, kind of?
I'm not going there. Well, comparisons.
No, but no. But I mean, Nixon. Was Nixon being a Quaker? Was that a big controversy back in the?
No. Well, he certainly didn't seem Quaker-like. That's for sure.
Well.
And but the it depends on your stereotype and how you were raised.
Right.
As to I wasn't raised in the evangelical world, and so Mormonism didn't seem to me to be scary at all. I actually have some neighbors, wonderful neighbors, who are Mormons,
right.
And not scary.
All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, there's a great piece, a poignant piece, about an Israeli pediatrician who by day saves the lives of Palestinian children. By night, he's an attack helicopter pilot patrolling Gaza, and he's firing missiles and killing Palestinians, or people who they believe are Palestinian terrorists. And this back and forth in this man's life is very interesting. Written by a woman by the name of Laura Blumenfeld, who has a great deal of experience over in the Middle East, and it's in the Washington Post, and you can find that link to that story.
He's an Israeli doctor who saves Palestinians.
Yes, they bring these children with various ailments into the hospital where he works in Holon, Israel.
And then he gets in a helicopter at night and shoots Palestinians, depending on where they're doing what. So
right, and you know what kind of life is that to lead, to have to live? But many Israelis do one thing by day, and they're soldiers and other do military things in other hours, and they serve, and that's the life that they lead over in Israel. It makes you feel very fortunate to live where we do.
That's in the Washington Post, and you can find that link at weissrite.com.
Weissrite.com.
WeissWrite.com. Plus podcasts of this segment up on there as well?
Yes, although I had to put my computer in the shop, so I'm a little bit behind. Like, I can't put on my podcast.
Right.
They will be there soon.
And also, The Jewel of St. Louis, Forest Park, the new book you have written with your wife. It's a great coffee table book. You'll be at Christopher's in Kirkwood on Sunday from 1 until 3. And I got a lot of people emailing me, asking me where they could get that book. Where can they get that book?
Well, you can go on. You can get it at any of the major bookstores, Borders and Left Bank Books and Barnes & Noble. But you can also go online at stltoday.com and click on the Post-Dispatch store and find it there. And if you're a subscriber, you get like $5 off.
And you can tip the person $20 on the way out.
Absolutely.
Dick Weiss, always a pleasure. Our media critic every Monday, weisswright.com. That's the website for that link, as well as everything else. We'll see you next Monday.
Okay.